LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. We are on the air. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Mages and magical places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of Volconjure.com, located in Western North Carolina, and this week we welcome the fantastic JD of Air and HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, back to the show for the discussion on graveyard work. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, JD. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to your Monday night phenomenon that is Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Only on the LMC Radio Network. We are live on the air. It is Monday. So what does that mean? Magic Mondays on the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Take a moment, jump on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post, leave a quick comment for your chance to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. So many fantastic readers. A lot of great insights to be had. Don't miss out on your chance for that free 15-minute reading. All righty. So we, you know, knock on some wood here. We managed to make it on the air tonight. Our sister show, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Unfortunately, we had to postpone this week. Maybe it was the Blog Talk Radio Gremlin saying they didn't want to hear me twice in 1 week. But before we get a little too far, I'm going to jump it back over to you, Reverend James. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good up here in the kitchen. Getting ready to actually do some work in the kitchen, like right now. I have 6 mini loaves of French baguettes preparing to go into the oven as we speak. So that is what I'm doing at this very moment. Other than that, we've been working on some new rituals and things that we will be adding to our website that are, I'm sure Art could tell us more about here in just a moment. But we've been taking pictures and preparing those things. We've also been getting some new products ready. I think Art spoke about that last week. We're getting some bath salts together. So, you know, those can, of course, be used for many other things other than just baths. You know, you can add them to your washing liquids. You can add them to your wash cycle whenever you're washing your clothes. And wash liquids, I mean, like whenever you're about to mop, things like that. So we'll be adding some new products here soon, too. So keep an eye out for that.
Well, thank you, Reverend James. I will let you go so you can get on those baguettes. And for those that don't know, Reverend James is honestly an excellent baker. He is always experimenting with different types of breads, different types of rolls. And I get to be the wonderful the test dummy for all of the experiments. But thankfully, they all turn out really, really well. There's been everything from crackers to, you know, biscuits. Obviously, you know, we're in the South, Southern thing, have to have biscuits. Today, the test is the French baguette. Sourdough, all kinds of things. And, I mean, it's been actually a pretty hectic weekend for Reverend James and myself. Like you said, you know, we've been putting together quite a few new items that we're going to be posting on both our Etsy store and on folkconjure.com. Some specific spells, some specific spell services that will go on a weekly basis. The bath crystals that Reverend James mentioned, we have 10 of them ready to go. We just have to finalize some labels, and we will be getting those up on the site here probably this week, hopefully. Needed to actually replenish a few herbs to finish up a couple recipes, but altogether we're looking at putting out up almost a dozen new bath salts onto the site. I spent a lot of time this weekend out doing one of the things that I enjoy doing the most in planting our herbs and veggies and such around the house. Literally finished up right before the show, hopefully before we get another thunderstorm that knocks out the power. But we have so many different herbs planted everywhere. Dill, of course, basil. We have our lemongrass, lemon balm, chamomile. I'm going to forget some, I know. Just so many different herbs all around, you know, the little wonderful witchy garden. We'll go. But without further ado, really thrilled to have our good friend JD joining us back here in the studio. You know, how are things going for you, JD? What's new in your neck of the woods?
Hey, everyone. Well, just like you, I've spent the last few days really kicking up the garden.
Nice.
I actually, prior to the show today, was outside all day getting dirt and mixing cow manure and making the perfect fertilizer for plants. So I've added more. I did some raised beds this year as well as some regular beds. Just like you mentioned, so I'm famous for my tomatoes as well as my basil, rosemary. I got chives. I found lemon thyme this year. Really excited to try that out. That's a first for me. Planted some catnips. I have lemongrass growing. So same thing. A lot of gardening. Definitely the sweat of the brow today. also looking forward to updating my website and getting some things up there over the next couple of weeks. So as things move forward and as summer comes upon us, I hope to have some new updates as well. But definitely excited about the garden, because something great feels about, like, looking at a finished garden being like, I did that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just love that.
Totally understand, you know, and for us, a lot of the preparation around the area, we live in the mountains. You hit, you know, a layer of clay very quickly sometimes in some places. We do have a lot of container gardens, but it's just that satisfaction of getting everything growing and glowing and you know, a lot of the herbs and such, we really do, you know, Reverend James and I, we love to go wild harvesting. So that's where a large portion of the herbs come that we have. Other than that, we do grow a lot of our own herbs. So we know, you know, pretty much from seed to spell where a lot of these herbs come from. And, you know, I think that, you know, especially, you know, with the herbs, you know, a lot of that nurturing energy that gets put into those, I think it makes a big difference where it's not as commercially processed. You know, the herbs aren't traumatized as much.
No, and not to throw back to older shows, but it kind of speaks also when you do it on your own, the doctrine of signatures on the language of a plant and how it grows and where it grows and the environment that it grows and how, therefore, it's used in the work that you do. So, I mean, that's something you only experience if you actually harvest your own garden to actually experience that. So it's one of the great pleasures of being able to do that.
It can be tricky sometimes to actually be able to find either the seedlings for a plant or the seeds themselves, which is one thing that James and I both are really appreciative of, is when we can find the harder to locate seeds and such. I'll tell you, when we're ordering and we're digging through our very, very, very well-used and bookmarked and just all kinds of, you can tell this book has been with us for a while, copy of the Hoodoo Urban Root Magic by Miss Catherine Ironwood, it's kind of the go-to, you know, so wonderful to have like the botanical names for the plants that we're looking for. You know, so not every plant is the traditional plant that you're looking to use. And that would be the smoke alarm.
Sounds like the baguettes are going well.
Oh, don't worry, everybody. We are safe. We are professionals. But back to the herbs, though. You know, really, for anybody that is looking to plant their herbal garden and really utilize the traditional plants, do the research, because the seeds are out there, the seedlings are out there. And the Hoodoo Urban Root Magic book is our herb Bible. It really is. All right. So we've got our herbal side down. Really excited for tonight's topic, though, is, you know, when JD and I were chit-chatting a little bit about, you know, really what to bring to the table for the show. You know, graveyard work is something that a lot of folks really, you know, have a lot of questions on. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of crazy information that I see on a daily basis as I scroll through, you know, social media and such. So I think it's a very timely topic that we can definitely
set a timer for 20 minutes.
20 minutes, starting now.
Oh, my bad, you guys. Strange. It should be.
Yep, Reverend James, we're right there along with the, on the journey with you tonight. But
people know we're live, right? There's no lie, we're live.
You know, with that, I think this would be a great place to jump in and get our station announcements and then jump into our topic for today of graveyard.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
I think Reverend James is still with us.
Reverend James is trying to get everything together here, but it's not really working out that great. So Tuesday, May 28th on the Crystal Silence League and syndication will be The Tools of Necromancy, and Tuesday, May 28th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of The Goddess Danu. And Wednesday, May 29th on The Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of Folk Psalms and Dragon's Blood. And Thursday, May 30th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be the topic of Invoking Fertility of Mind, Body, and Spirit. And Sunday, June 2nd, next Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man will be John St. Germain with the Oracle Hour topic on Numismatomancy, Coin Divination. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art. Although, everyone, I apologize. Apparently, my mute button no longer works for this headset that I'm using, so I'm going to be looking for another headset in the meantime.
Thank you, Reverend James. And so, graveyard work. Often misaligned, often misunderstood. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off, JD?
Sure. So, and why we, is Reverend Art, Reverend James, and I were talking last week about some topics for a show, and we were thinking about what Memorial Day represents here in the United States. And it is our version of basically of So the original Memorial Day actually what used to be called Decorations Day. It was first widely observed on May 30th, 1868, though there are some earlier times where it was practiced as early as May 10th or May 8th. But collectively, the first widely observation was May 30th, 1868, to honor those who died during the Civil War. And it was called Decorations Day because it was a day when they went to the military graves and they cleaned them off and they dressed them with flowers and flags. So you decorated the tombs to honor the soldiers. Now, up until World War I, it was considered Decorations Day. After World War I, it was changed then to honor all veterans, which is why we now call it Memorial Day. So it's the United States' version of celebrating and representing those who died for our country. It's even expanded out modern day. A lot of people use this as a day just to go and care for their loved ones' tombs, to freshen them up, to clean it out, to cut the grass, you know, to implant new flowers and decorate it nicely. Now, it's related to other holidays throughout the world because we're not obviously not the only ones who've celebrated such holidays, such as, you know, the Day of the Dead, which is celebrated around between October 31st and November 2nd in Latin America, which is another day where it is believed that the veil between the living and the dead is so thin that the spirits are able to cross over. And in doing that, you represent your loved ones by giving them treats and sweets and flowers. And again, you care and tend for their grave. In Tibetan Chinese cultures, and James would be better at talking about this more than I, but I know they do have Tomb Sweeping Day, which they visit the ancestors and they clean the tombs and they decorate them and clean them up. And that often happens, depending on the calendar, between April 4th and 6th of each year. So there is a world tradition of graveyard service of the living to the dead. You know, and there's other ones, for example, All Hallows Eve and, you know, the Gaelic festival of Samhain, which are also seasonal ones that happen around, you know, late October, early November. But the idea of graveyard work and caring for a grave is kind of what fruited this work, or at least our conversation, and kind of then led into the idea of like, well, let's talk about graveyard work, graveyard rituals, graveyard traditions, and the practices here in Hoodoo.
You know, growing up, Memorial Day weekend in my family was always, you know, it was always, there was always a segment that was reserved for, you know, we would visit the graves of family members that had passed, you know, doing exactly what you has described, you know, we'd clean them up and plant fresh flowers and, you know, generally, you know, spruce up the area. We, you know, we'd also, you know, spruce up the headstones around as well. You know, got to take care of the neighbors. And, you know, while Memorial Day does have that aspect of, you know, it is veneration for those that have fallen in battle, you know, protecting the country, protecting our way of life. You know, it has expanded. And, you know, it wasn't until I actually met Reverend James and started visiting down into North Carolina before we lived here, I had never heard of the concept of homecoming. Not sure if you've heard of this, JD, but, you know, it's a celebration of the families, and, you know, mostly held by the churches in the area, you know, where everybody comes back together. They're, you know, there's whole families just cleaning family plots and beautifying the entire cemetery. And you'll see this every year. And it's just, I love the term, you know, homecoming. It really kind of grabbed for me that innate sense of the love that we still have for those that have moved on into spirit, those that have, gone beyond the veil. And in discussing for tonight's show on talking about graveyard work and what that really means, it does beckon for us to take a moment, and really to share a little bit of the history of this day and this weekend, and what it means for everyone. So I truly appreciate you bringing up the history behind the Memorial Day weekend. So moving in a little bit further on graveyard work too, it's a very unique form of working, and a great springboard of the discussion that we've had thus far is, the respect that practitioners who utilize graveyard work, whether they're practicing in the graveyard or, doing graveyard rituals, utilizing tools provided from visiting the graveyard, that level of respect is paramount and needs to be maintained from the start of the intention for whatever it is that you're working on, straight through to disposing of any remnants from your work. I mean, wouldn't you agree, JD?
Oh yes, absolutely. And there's a huge history in hoodoo practices on how you go to the graveyard, what you do when you're there, how you collect the dirt, who you collect it from, and then how it's used. Shiva asks, if you don't respect them, will they haunt you or possess you? I've read traditions where that's a yes, that's an absolute true, and then I've read ones where it's no. So, I mean, I think it really depends on the tradition that you're following.
If you think about it, though, from that aspect, too, if you go to your friend and you ask your friend to do something for you, to help you, move a couch or, till a field or give you a ride somewhere, and then you disrespect them, how well are they actually going to help you out? So if nothing else, just from that standpoint, most of the time when you're working with, doing graveyard work, you are asking the spirits for intercession, for help, for assistance, and disrespect is not the way to really kind of get that end result that you're hoping for. There is a tradition that, as you leave the graveyard, once you're crossing through the gates or over the line of demarcation that delineates the border of the graveyard, that you toss some coins out, over your shoulder behind you as you leave, and you don't look back, and that in turn, any spirits that are following you and potentially trying to, hitch a ride, will stop to count the coins and allow you to move off on your way.
It's interesting. I learned that same thing, except how I was taught was you drop coins as you enter and you drop coins as you leave, because you're paying the spirit of the entrance of the graveyard to prevent any spirits from following you.
You know, I, so, in a, that's one way to do it as well, is, you know, that it's respectful, again, to, you know, to make that offering, to leave that offering. Some people do it at the entrance of the cemetery to the graveyard. Some people do it at the headstone of whomever it is that they are trying to garner their assistance. There's a lot of different avenues that this tradition has taken.
And that's one thing we have to mention here, and I think it would be a great place to, is like this, there's a lot of traditions that involve graveyard and cemetery work, and then we are only representing what our own knowledge of it, that there's so much more vast knowledge on this, especially when you add other cultures and traditions.
But we would never be able to get through it all in one show.
Yeah. And Stephen mentioned the gatekeeper, cemetery manager. That was what I was just speaking of, was the spirit of the graveyard, or the keeper of the graveyard. Is when you enter, you pay entry, and then you pay as you exit, in order for the gatekeeper to keep any other spirits from following you. And that was not in lieu of you also doing, also paying the spirit at the graveyard that you're actually working with. So it's a very monetary system of pay as you go. So you're paying for your entry, basically. And earlier he asked a question about disrespect versus neglect. I think the difference is, if you neglect your ancestors and you neglect their tombs and then you come for them, they'll, just like any relationship, they will neglect you versus disrespect. That's where I think when you disrespect a grave, where you would ultimately have that issue of probably being haunted or being attacked by a spirit, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've talked, you and I, on various shows in the past, you know, in working with various spirits, you know, whether that be, you know, saints or what have you, about the importance of, you know, having that respect and having that regular sort of interaction and maintaining and building a relationship where, you know, how important that is. Because when you ask a favor and you've not built that relationship, it's kind of excess. We'll just say that your chances of a successful outcome for whatever it is that you're working on isn't necessarily angling towards 100%. You know, same thing when working in the graveyard. You know, you might not have the time to effectively build a relationship with the spirits of the graveyard. Although, you know, that is one thing that a lot of practitioners, several of my closest friends actually do, you know, is they actually do spend the time visiting the same graveyard on a regular basis, you know, whether that they're hanging out and, you know, going to specific graves that they're, you know, they're working to build that relationship with, leaving offerings. They also do work, you know, around the graveyard itself, where, you know, cleaning stuff off of the roadways, dusting off headstones, just general building a connection to those that are interred there. And these types of relationships really do make a difference. It really does. In my opinion, not only is it respectful, but it's also to a point very important to spend that time and take that time, and not just, it's not like, you know, grab some dirt and run.
Absolutely agree. And that's part of the respect thing, that, and also why you collect dirt from certain graves and how you collect it is all part of the tradition. There's so much more to it than just So there's graveyard dirt, which is a large part of hoodoo, but then there's also graveyard work, which in itself could be a show of itself. I mean, and they do intertwine and they intermingle, but they are two different areas where there's a lot of discussion, especially in hoodoo, about it. For example, you know, looking through the works of Hyatt, like, how does one find a grave to work with, particularly if you're working in a graveyard and you do not know the recipients of this cemetery? There's different theories. There's different methods that have been taught through the years. One is you count the seventh grave from the gate. Another one is you do the third one on the left. Another one is that you use your intuition and you walk in until you find a grave that speaks to you, and then you go to that grave. One thing that they all have in common is that when you go to that grave, that you submit yourself both in learning about that person and building that communication, building that relationship and connecting with them. And that can be done in different ways. Some traditional ways is, you know, learning about who that person is and that spot.
Yes.
Cleaning the grave, giving things to them. The more you know about them, the easier it is. For example, if they were a smoker, giving them a cigarette. If they were a drinker, giving them whiskey. If they like sweets, giving them sugars, you know, things like flowers, things like that. So building those relationships with them prior to taking the dirt and making sure that you have the permission in order to either take the item or do the work. So there are different traditions. Neither are wrong, nor is one more right than the other. It just depends on how people were taught. But these are all ways of finding a grave to work with. For example, like I'll give my own example, what graveyard I worked in, and I went with the intuition method, and I walked up to this grave, and it had the same first name as my grandpa, and this person also served in World War One, and I was drawn to it, and just like my grandpa, they served in World War One in France, just like my grandpa did. So that intuition drawed me to that, and I have worked with that grave ever since because of that connection. So that's a personal story on how I was drawn to a grave. You might also use a specific grave for a specific reason. For example, it is common to see in hoodoo that you might pull on a graveyard work from a soldier because soldiers are great at taking orders. But you can also work with a graveyard from a police officer if you're looking for protection or justice work. You might use graveyard work from a loved one if you're needing protection or you're doing love work. If you're looking to cause harm to someone, you'd more likely want to pull dirt from someone who is a criminal, a murderer, or someone who died a terrible death. So here we get a little bit more specific on the dirt based on the person's experience.
You know, it's very interesting how, like, the grave selection, the spirit selection sort of process goes. And a lot of, you know, everybody kind of that does that form of work does have their own method. You know, as a medium for myself, you know, when I enter the graveyard, I go where I'm drawn. And, you know, it's a very much like, almost like dowsing. It's like, oh, no, energy's pulling this way, up, pulling this way. There have been times that I've circled a graveyard many times through just to almost like a spiral, like circling down into hitting that center point. But like you said, you know, in the grave, is really, it depends on how they're trained, a little bit of intuition and, you know, a little bit of tradition. You know, not a lot of people have the opportunity in this day and age to do graveyard work in a graveyard per se. You know, we can thank vandals and other like situations for really kind of making it so that those of us that are approaching from a compassionate and empathetic direction have this additional difficulty. But building the connection between an individual site, an individual grave, and what you're working on is huge. And it's really not that difficult to really put things together to kind of locate a spirit to reach out to. A lot of people ask about that, you know, how do I know who to work with? I'm not a medium. How do I know who to work with? Should I get a reading to direct me to who I need to work with? In a lot of cases, if you know what you're looking to do, say you're doing a working for a long and happy marriage, you really don't have to go very far, much further than the internet, to look up, at least in this day and age, to look up obituaries and final interment locations for individuals who have lived a long and happy life. There are many times that you will find these individuals and you'll see husband and wife buried together, you know, married 60, 70 years. And when one passes, you know, it's kind of a sad truth that usually the surviving spouse passes not that long after. There's a connection there. There are spirits there that would be happy to share that energy, provided you are respectful and honorific of them. You know, JD had mentioned about, you know, if you're looking to curse somebody, finding, you know, a criminal of some sort, there's no shortage of finding those records either of where they've been interred. It's just a matter of doing the footwork. And, you know, there was a question in the chat. Hey Maganda had asked, and there's actually a lot of really great questions in the chat tonight. Hey Maganda had asked, what about graves where the occupant is not known? Would there be a special way to ask for help? From my experience, you know, there are ways to build a connection, to build a bridge, utilizing mediumship and such, utilizing the energy, you can feel the vibe, so to speak, of what that grave gives off. But in a lot of cases, a lot of times I've been told that by fellow practitioners is that they avoid attempting to utilize graves of unknown individuals because you just don't want – there's usually a lot of effort going into the working that you're doing, and you don't want to necessarily throw in a kind of a wild card into what it is that you're attempting to accomplish. What have you heard about this, JD?
Well, I was going to say, if you're working in a cemetery, you can use some, you know, common sense field work to support you in the beginning. First of all, if you purposely pick a military graveyard, then you already know you have soldiers, right? You know, you True. Can read the you can read the surnames and such and get an idea of the, you know, mostly the ethnic background of the people you're working with, particularly if they're in ethnic neighborhoods. So that could give you information. And then you can look at the time periods, you know, where were they, when were they alive? When did they die? That'll give you an idea about ages. So if you're looking for a child's grave versus, you know, a mature person's grave. So this can give you some, you know, demographic information right off the view with the work that you're looking to do. But, you know, to determine if a grave is one you should work with, as we spoke, it's kind of one, you're kind of relying on your own ability to make those connections too. Different divination methods. You can use a pendulum, you can use tarot cards, but I would spend more than a day coming back and asking, and I would also offer things. You know, some traditional offerings that are given are coins, and I know Shiva asked earlier about why coins, and the best answer I can say is that, I mean, there's a history that goes back through the Jewish tradition as well as the Greeks of putting gold coins on the eyes, and I believe that would probably be the most likely reason why it's still valued that way. Giving them liquor, cigarettes, flowers, things like that are all part of, you know, giving to the spirit of the graveyard, and then once that relationship is produced, you can ask. But, you know, working with hypothetically, say, a unknown, I mean, and that's what I'm guessing this person is, like an unknown, like an unmarked grave. And that's kind of a hard one to work with, honestly. I think the only reason I would work with an unknown, unmarked grave is if I wanted someone to become unknown and unremembered. And that would be why I would use such a grave. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't work with one.
You know, there's been some talk to that in discussing it with other practitioners about, you know, when doing things like curse work and such, that sometimes the unmarked graves can be a little bit more beneficial. Because a lot of times, you know, for there to be an unmarked grave in large part, I mean, we know of things like, you know, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers and such, that is out there. But in a lot of cases, you know, these, and honestly, this comes a little bit too from my years in working in, I just spent a few years working with anthropologists, is, you know, sometimes you find a body in a field and there's just no identification. And obviously, you know, did that person, was it foul play? Did they die a quote unquote horrible death? Was it traumatic? Is their spirit going to be beneficial for use in, you know, curse work, that kind of thing? Or, you know, was it somebody that was, that happened to be out tending a field, doing something that they love, planting herbs and all kinds of vegetables and such, and maybe took, just had a heart attack and passed away, or, you know, in some way passed away peacefully. You just never know. So it definitely, there's a bit of an apprehension to those unmarked graves. You know, there was an interesting thing Dr. Sweets had mentioned in the chat about using a vetiver spray cologne on yourself to stop unwanted spirits from attaching to you and from following you home. You know, this, I can see where this would be a beneficial sort of thing for, you know, from a folklore standpoint, vetiver is kind of known for warding off unwanted spirits. You know, it is a purifying herb. It's protection. The troll T-Fall had followed it up and said, would that keep wanted spirits away too? But, you know, in some spiritual beliefs, vetiver also attracts positive energies. So while it would push away and keep away those negative entities, those negative energies, for those spirits and entities that were, you know, of a positive nature, I believe it would, in my estimation, you know, they would still see the open sign.
But for those of you who want to know some ways of keeping spirits off of you when you leave, there are different traditions. Viravidur might be one. I just posted about Florida water. It can attract spirits as well, but it can also be used to cast off trickster or evil spirits. It is a tradition that if you pass over a waterway while on your way home, that the spirit of the graveyard will not be able to follow you. It's also a tradition that you should not go back the same way you came. So if you came one way, you would go an opposite way home in order to prevent spirits from following you home. So these are traditions as well. On
crossing over streams and railroad tracks.
Yep. So they prevent the spirits from following you. So these are some traditions to consider as well. Now, what would you say, so let's talk about, like, we found the grave, we know who we're working with, now what? What do we do? Like, how do you conduct graveyard work?
I know me personally, I always take a moment at the grave site before even commencing, you know, taking any types of action. I've been known to sit in front of the grave of whomever it is that I'm working with. One thing I will say too is I do believe, like for myself personally, in working with as much family as I possibly can, or people that I've known. I think I saw a question in the chat about working with people that you've known. I do, if you have these individuals in your life, I had the opportunity to have a relationship with them on this plane before they crossed over to the next. I find that to be especially valuable. But in me personally, I do spend some time. I will meditate in front of the grave. I will sit and hang out and have a chat. You know, I watch for signs. You know, there are different things that you will notice as you are waiting to, you know, to ask your favor or what have you. You know, little signs of things that can indicate whether this is a good connection or not. You know, I've, in those instances where I'm able to, I've brought incense with me. You know, I'll light a stick of incense and I will stick it into the ground in front of the grave, and hopefully it's not a windy day, and I watch and read the smoke. I know we've talked in several shows about, you know, smoke divination from candle magic can work here in much the same way. It's also an offering to the spirits. I spend a lot of time trying to build that connection is my initial step, and watching for those signs before moving into, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. Is this something that you're willing to help me with? And then, you know, going about collecting the graveyard dirt and, you know, paying for the dirt, which, you know, a lot of people have different variants on how to pay for the dirt. You know, putting coins in the hole where you've dug up the dirt and then covering them back over is one that, you know, that's actually one that I use quite often when needed. And then, you know, having a respectful closing. That's kind of my process in a nutshell. How about you, JD?
Well, I agree. So when I work with a grave, and I'm assuming that I have a working relationship with it, that depending on the work, and I would like to point out, too, that in, like, most of the world, it is a crime to desecrate a grave. So, like, you should be secretive in your work, and some common sense tips will help you. For example, like when I do graveyard work, no, I don't think is digging a grave desecration. I don't know, but there's a lot of place, and I'm answering a question directly in the chat, where if you're messing with a grave that you can get in legal trouble. And when I do graveyard work, I purposely plan ahead with bringing flowers, bringing things to trim, bringing things to clean. I do that on purpose so that if someone does see me and suspect something, that it basically looks like I'm caring for the grave. So I put a lot of practice into making sure not only am I honoring them because I'm giving flowers and such, but I'm also bringing items with me that allow me to be there for a few minutes and not to be as obvious. So I will, you know, trim back the grass. I will de-weed. You know, I will, you know, clean the stone. I will. In fact, oftentimes when I do dig a hole, I often put the flowers on top of the hole in order to cover the work that I've done, to keep it secret. So that's just some practical tips. That's not a magical tip. That's just what I do in order to keep the work hidden. When I'm working with a grave, as a view, I pray, I speak to the person. I then do the work, and then I thank them for the work, and then I pay them for the work, and I've been trained just like you, using coins. What I do is I put a thumb hole print down and put a shot of whiskey into that spot. I put coins and cover it. I also put coins on the tombstone, and then other items depending on the work and what I'm doing. So that's how I've been working with graveyards. And like you kind of mentioned, there's different ways of collecting dirt. For example, there's traditions where, and, you know, I was thinking Hyatt earlier, there's a tradition where, you know, you put your fingers in the ground into a hole so deep that it can go to your wrist, and then you scoop the dirt, and that's the dirt that you use, and you take that dirt with you, and then you would pay for it. Another method is that you use a silver spoon only to collect the dirt. So there's different traditions on how you collect the dirt as well. And then graveyard dirt is used in so many different types of work, from love, protection, and cursing. That's a very broad topic, which I'm sure we'll be discussing.
You know, these questions are fantastic tonight in the chat. Definitely have to give a shout out to everybody. Y'all are definitely keeping us going here. this is another show. We called it out in the beginning, JD, that no way we were going to cover everything in one show. But, you know, there are so many different methods for really doing that, the whole practice of working with the spirits. I did want to touch back on, you know, when you are taking dirt, you're not generally digging down deep enough to be able to reach the remains of whomever is that's there. If you've dug that deep, you are a bit of an overachiever. It's not necessary, nor is it appropriate, in really any way, shape, or form. You know, not only are you not going to actually get to remains, there's the sarcophagus that is usually surrounding the casket. So it's almost like a double lockdown before anything like that were to come about. But I do find it interesting how many that have asked me, what happens if, you know, you reach so-and-so, and I always kind of get a chuckle out of that, that it, you know, that's not really how it works. But, you know, we've definitely outlined a lot of the collection methods. We've talked about, you know, some protection. We've talked about some respect and practices like that. You know, a lot of individuals in, you know, people ask this regularly, is can someone work as a proxy for another doing graveyard work? Well, yes. Air is full of them. The Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, go to the readersandrootworkers.org website, and you will find a list of individuals that will perform graveyard work on your behalf. And for those who are living in areas that, you know, potentially visiting a cemetery or a graveyard is not as feasible as it is in other parts of the U.S. or abroad, there are ways to obtain graveyard dirt for your individual workings without collecting it yourself. You know, making sure that you're buying from a reputable establishment that would have respectfully purchased the graveyard dirt is kind of key to this. So before just randomly buying graveyard dirt on, I don't know, TikTok, Facebook Marketplace, do a little bit of research. Make sure that the seller is reputable and you're comfortable in knowing that you're getting what you're expecting to get. You don't want to, you know, have something go completely opposite your intention because someone tried to cut corners without being upfront about it. I mean, I'm sure you would agree, JD.
Yes, you got to make sure that you're buying from reliable people. And you just reminded me of Miss Kat's post about substitutes of graveyard dirt and the, you know, the BS conversation of how, you know, mullein is used as a substitute for graveyard dirt. No, it's not. It's not like, and if you go through all of Hyatt and Puckett and all of the work, there's no substitute. Graveyard dirt is graveyard dirt. So if someone's trying to sell you, you know, the substitute, you should probably go away. You should probably ignore that.
Yeah, you know, the proxy items are, in a lot of cases, very sketch. And definitely something to keep in mind as you're purchasing. You know, that I have seen, and this is something that I've come across kind of recently, where there's like exchanges on it, like graveyard dirt exchange groups on Facebook, where they individuals that live in a city with a certain famous individual purports to collect, you know, a bunch of dirt from that individual's grave and put it out there for sale or trade. Trading is one thing, you know, if it's like for like, a little bit more inclined to say, give it the benefit of the doubt, but definitely still vet your source. But the individuals that are selling, like, you know, oh, you want to be a musical prodigy? Here's graveyard dirt from Elvis's grave or something. Question it. Question it till you're blue in the face. Social media has definitely not been a friend to many who are, you know, attempting to be a practitioner, learning to be a practitioner, or, you know, wanting or necessarily intending to affect change in their own lives, and then purchasing just sham ingredients. And it's proliferating, folks. So if y'all are wondering, watch the Facebook groups, and you will definitely see this.
And
very
speaking
clear.
Speaking of famous ones, you know, talking about graves, Mary LaVu in New Orleans. There's a long practice tradition of where you would write your prayer on a piece of paper and tuck it into the crevice of her tomb for your prayer to be answered. So,
you know,
it's kind of like thinking about like this conversation on like famous tombs, you know.
You know, we'll use this as an example because for those who have had the opportunity to visit the tomb of Marie Laveau in New Orleans, just in general, not many graves in New Orleans, just by virtue of the location, are underground. Cemeteries they're above ground. They are vaults, and they are paved in many cases. And I saw someone selling graveyard dirt from Marie Laveau's grave for, it was something like $300 for this like little 2 ounce bag. And it just, it really struck me how many people would just go, oh, I recognize the name. I know who that is. I got to take advantage of this while it's here, without really doing that research to know enough that it's not a legit business. It's not a legit option. You know, in a lot of cases, you know, when visiting Marie Laveau's grave, a lot of individuals, they actually there are markings that are on the grave to signify working with spirits and such. Such an interesting and odd phenomena of buying these spiritual supplies and people not really questioning or self-advocating to make sure that they are buying something that's authentic. I don't know. That's the only horror story I have right now offhand. Are we still on the air?
Yeah,
it's very,
you know,
okay. It was very quiet for a second.
When you were talking about it, I was like, oh, you're reminding me, and I posted in the chat of, like, the story of the body of Moses and the devil and Michael the archangel disputing over the body. Like, so you just kind of, like, I was like, oh, I fell down a rabbit hole for a second. I was like, let me post it. And I agree, I was asking that same question earlier. If a person is buried and, like, hypothetically, say you're cremated and your cremation is put into a vault, does the dust around that vault count as graveyard dirt? I kind of go with Reverend James and think I would count it as well. Modern day, I mean, there's a lot of differences. I know Shiva asked earlier about using ashes. I think that also would count as a form of graveyard dirt, or be as probably even a more powerful connection than graveyard dirt, using that in work, because it's a direct connection to that person.
Very true, very true. And, you know, there is one other thing that I want to jump into the chat on, is there were several questions about using graves that contain multiple individuals. And I'm kind of intrigued, you know, in a lot of cases, husband and wife are buried together. You know, in my family, my grandparents were both cremated and buried together. So how to differentiate, or do you bother differentiating between multiple individuals in a grave? What do you think, JD?
Well, I think that's a lot harder when you're working in, like, a mass grave to pull on the spirits of the work, because there's multiple spirits there. So I think that would be a lot harder and probably more troublesome in order to do that work than it would be if you had a singular one. And I'm not sure why me personally, I don't think I would want to work with a mass grave versus a singular grave for that very reason.
You know, Dr. Sweets posed an interesting position of, you know, where he has, or where they have one grave for both grandparents. One was okay to be, you know, was attuned to the spiritual realm, the other definitely not. So how would you go about using something of that nature? And that's actually kind of an interesting point. You know, some spirits might tell you to kick rocks. It can happen. And, you know, if you're going into it knowing that, you might be able to save yourself some frustration, some time, some trouble. I have heard of, you know, with some practitioners, you know, depending on the headstone, even though the individuals are buried together, and in a lot of cases it is one on top of the other, you know, if the names are printed on both sides of the headstone, that one side is designated for, you know, individual A, the other side is designated for individual B. So you can kind of, you know, symbolically or spiritually pick which one of them that you're working with. I don't generally work that way myself, but it is something that I have heard used out in the field. What are your thoughts on that, JD?
Well, you just remind me of something that I was thinking about earlier, was like where you select the dirt from the grave and why. And there's different reasons for the dirt. For example, you might select the dirt over the heart for love work. You might pull dirt from the head. Some traditions say you take it from the head and foot stone. When burying things, you might bury things on the left or the right side based on the work you're doing. So if I'm doing negative work, I would bury the item on the left hand of the person for left-handed work. versus if I was doing something for right-handed work, which is more positive. So that's another way of using the body, but you would actually, you know, measure down where the hands would be and bury that item based on where the hand is. And asking the spirit as you bury the item as, for example, I'm going to go to negative aspect, like say I'm burying a miniature coffin, that I would bury it on the left hand, and I would, as I bury it, I would ask them to hold that person down and hold them in that grave with their hand. So you're kind of pulling on the symbolism of the hand, you're pulling on the symbolism of the body, you're pulling on the, you know, the dirt. So you're kind of pulling on all these elements.
Yeah, you know, it definitely goes into a lot of the symbolism and the symbology of working with graveyards. They're doing graveyard rituals, you know, a mirror box, for example, you know, burying a mirror box and such. So we have roughly about 11 minutes left. Oh my gosh, where it's flying by like it always does. I do want to touch base on some of these additional questions in the chat too. I know I'm a little bit behind, but Trollty had asked, are there ways to test graveyard dirt for its potency or authenticity? And I'm going to throw it out there that unless you are someone that has like a GCMS machine and plenty of other samples of, you know, dirt residue from said area, chances are there's no way you're really going to be able to verify its authenticity. You know, spiritual potency, you know, there are varying degrees of ways that you can test with that. You know, use a pendulum, use dowsing rods, use, if you're already working medium, you know, use that, use your clairs. But that kind of lends back to the importance of knowing the source that you're purchasing from, if you are in a position of needing to purchase versus procure on your own. And Hemaganda had asked a question, what about dirt from places that were the site of a tragedy? And this is an excellent question and could very easily be a show all on its own. The use of different kinds of dirt, you know,
and tragedies work, like death work, would be useful for, like, you know, like, for example, finding graveyard dirt from someone who was murdered or who died harshly, or a murderer, are all great for death and cursing work.
Very true. You know, you could surf the Lucky Mojo. Go ahead.
Well, there's that point too, like where, you know, you can look at where you go to a dog park where there's two dogs fight and you collect the dirt from what the dogs fighted, right? That's like tragedy. Like what that tragedy is, you collect that dirt and it carries that spiritual element.
Right. You know, and like I was going to say, you can cruise the Lucky Mojo forum for, you know, all kinds of tips and information on utilizing different kinds of dirt. You know, if you're trying to take out a loan from a specific bank, taking some dirt from the bank, or, you know, if you're dealing with some sort of an issue with a neighbor grabbing dirt out of their yard, for court cases, grabbing dirt from around the courthouse. Dirts is a topic in and of itself, way over what we could cover in our talk tonight about graveyard dirt, but it does have a use, Hemaganda. I just, the authenticity question, if there was a deadometer to test authenticity. Love it. I think Hemaganda is winning the chat for two comments 2 weeks in a row, because I think we had the "my Reiki brings all the boys to the yard" last week.
I'd like to point out, like, something that's not discussed much about Revo Dirt is its use in love work. Because
yes,
it is the least likely thought, but it is also a very powerful tool. And recently on the forum, there was a discussion on the Love Me or Die spell, and then there was another one with using graveyard dirt in order to make someone love you. This is an important and a very powerful area where graveyard dirt is used. And in fact, we kind of dismissed Shiva just pointed out, like, the positive aspect of graveyard dirt. Like, for example, taking dirt from my own ancestors and having a cup of that on my altar is a strong and powerful way of connecting with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So remembering that graveyard dirt, though sounds scary, there's also positive attributes to it as well. It can be used in love work. This cat has a spell where it can be used to help you get your inheritance. It can be used to help you getting jobs, right? It can be used and worked with on your altar to connect with your spirit. So there's a lot of positive ways of working with graveyard dirt too.
Yeah, and that is a huge and fantastic point to bring up for tonight. You know, is graveyard dirt is not all cursing and crossing sort of works. You have your love works, you have your protection works, you have your prosperity works. You know, find the graveyard dirt or the grave dirt of a wealthy banker who was excellent in working the stock market, and use it to deploy a money drawing spell for yourself. You know, there are a myriad of ways of utilizing graveyard dirt in a positive way. And one thing we actually haven't touched on, we have a few minutes left, and what Troll T had asked, what are the physical methods of using the dirt? Is it added to incense, added to sachet powder, added to things to drink or eat? What do you think, JD?
I generally would use graveyard dirt as similar to a sachet, whether I use it in a sprinkling aspect or putting it into like a mojo or into a container, or putting in like a dish on an altar are the ways that I would generally use it. Mostly container spells, to be honest with you, is how I see most graveyard work being used. Whether it be making you can make a coffin, or you could then put it into a mojo bag. You can sprinkle it on a person. You certainly couldn't get them to digest it, though that might be hard. There is an old tradition of taking graveyard dirt from a loved one and sprinkling it on the one you desire, and that'll make them love you. But the trick to that is that you have to keep sprinkling it on them regularly. So sprinkling on them would be like more of a sachet aspect, where you'd actually be dusting or dressing it onto their bodies. So different ways. You can use graveyard dirt and put it, you could take graveyard and put it into someone's shoes and sprinkle it slowly to the graveyard as though you're leading them to the graveyard.
Very good. Very true. And, you know, a lot container spells probably, I would have to say, would be the most popular method of utilizing graveyard dirt. You know, sugar jars, honey jars, sweetening spells. There are hundreds upon hundreds of examples of, you know, different methods to use you know, in these kind of spells to bring about to add that spiritual entity energy to obtaining the results that you're wanting for and pushing that drive. It can really be fascinating while you're when you think about it, just how versatile of an ingredient that it is. I have heard of instances where it can be added to things that would be ingested. However, I'm going to caution that as a absolute possible last resort to ever be considered before trying to deploy graveyard dirt in that manner. But there's, you know, there's options out there, and if you search hard enough, you will definitely find them.
And to add to that, like, and I agree, it's hard to digest it, but even protection, I mean, taking graveyard dirt and carrying it on you of a loved one who was very protective of you, or sprinkling it in the presence of an enemy would be equally a powerful way of calling on your ancestor or your guardian spirit or your graveyard ally for protection work.
You know, I've heard individuals utilizing it for protection and other, you know, means like that, you know, sprinkling it in their front yard to keep negative, you know, to have that protection to keep negative energies away and such. You know, and for those that live in apartments, putting it in a potted plant and keeping that potted plant close to your front door, close to the windows and such to kind of deflect and help keep that negative out. And I think we are right here at the end of the show. It flew by as it always does. And, you know, I think that's about all the time we have for tonight, JD.
We might have to do another show on dirt because I think we had a lot of combo on dirt.
Let's get it booked. Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. Until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be welcoming Troll Towelhead for an intriguing exploration into Satanism in theory and practice. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on FruitWorkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via MysticsMages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here, and be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook, and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your patience. Good night. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.